You are listening to the Punk News Podcast for September 3, 2014. Welcome back to the Punk News Podcast. This features editor John Gentile. We've got a super exciting episode tonight. We're going to be playing Punk's Points. That's right, our trivia game show, Punk's Points, after the news discussion. So be sure to stick around for that. We've got Chris Farron of Fake Problems playing Punk's Points with us tonight. And I think he's going to do real well. He's a great sport. We'll see how he does. With me tonight is With me is managing editor, the big shot, the big wig. Here we are with Adam White. Adam White, how you doing?
How dare you mangle my title?
I apologize, oh great master. I apologize. And we are also here with Mark Little, news editor, reviews writer. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing all right. And we are also here with Tricky Ricky Frankel, who's about to run off, but he is on Punk's Points, but he's about to run off, and he's going to introduce a song for us real quick. Tricky Ricky, what's that song you got?
Okay, so the band's called M Section. They have kind of like an agnostic front, early NoFX sound. They're from Santa Rosa, California, and their album's called M Section versus the Immortal Jellyfish. You can check them out on their Facebook. They have a Bandcamp, just msection.bandcamp.com. And this song is off that record, and it's called Missile Factory.
Stop! Watch the fires away!
was a song from Mr. Ricky Franco, who has now left us, so he can go watch Stiff Little Fingers, I think.
Nice.
Which is way more punk than whatever the hell we're going to be doing. So we're going to talk about some stuff that happened this past week. So I guess the big one to start with is that Martin Scorsese is going to be directing a Ramones film. So the estate of the Ramones has announced that the famed director intends to film a Ramones feature. The work will not be a documentary. You know, at this time, all we really know is that Scorsese plans to create a dramatization of the Ramones story. Now, according to Linda Ramone, the wife of Johnny Ramone, this all became possible because she is now on pleasant terms with Mickey Lay, the... Is it Lay? I always say Lay, but I want to say like Lee.
No, it's like
I always say Lee.
I think it's Mickey Lay as an L-A-Y, even though it's L-E-I-G-H.
Yeah. So she's on pleasant terms now with Mickey Lay, the brother of Joey Ramone, which thus makes business deals like this possible. At this time, it's unclear if Linda Ramone and Lay's shares of the Ramones estate adds up to the entire thing, or if there's anyone on Tommy or Dee Dee's side that are involved in this or not. So according to various sources, the need for reconciliation stems from bad blood that existed between Johnny and Joey Ramone, which is, of course, probably because Johnny Ramone started dating Linda following Linda's relationship with Joey. This sounds like a Friends episode. So anyways, the estate has also stated that there are early plans to create a musical based on the Ramones, which... that's that. So anyways, Scorsese Ramones film. What do you guys think of this?
I think a lot of people are boo-hooing it, but honestly, I think actually if anybody can do it, Scorsese can do it. He's done biopics before. He's done Rolling Stones. He's done Bob Dylan. I think he did a pretty good job. And plus, I think people think of Scorsese as like an early 70s guy or maybe an early 90s guy. But as we'll learn on Punk's points coming up, Scorsese was actually pretty hip to punk rock. He was like friends with The Clash, and he actually had The Clash in one of his movies. And I think he knew the Ramones, too, or at least he was a fan. So Scorsese's pretty hip to the New York scene. He's a great filmmaker, and I think he does a good job of making a compelling story without over-dramatizing things too much. But converse to that, though, is honestly, I'd much rather have a documentary than some guys acting out what happened. And I realize we have a million Ramones documentaries already, so we don't need any more, really. But, I mean, I have very little interest in seeing people do a semi-fictional account of what really happened, because the entire time I'm watching something, I can never seem to shake, well, this isn't really real, so why am I even watching this? Why don't I just watch pure fiction or a pure documentary?
There are some good Ramones documentaries out there, and I guess that's the thing. Now, wasn't there just a last year, the year before? Was there not some CBGB's film that they made that featured the Ramones? I'm trying to think who was.
Oh, that's right. It was like really bad, right?
I don't remember.
Last year, I know Taylor Hawkins was in that from the Foo Fighters.
Okay, yeah, because Alan Rickman was playing Hilly Crystal.
Oh, it's called CBGB.
Yeah. Okay. So who played Joey Ramone in that then?
Joel David Moore, but I think he was only in it briefly. I actually never saw it, to tell you the truth. Joel David Moore. He was in Dodgeball, Grandma's Boy, Avatar. He's pretty skinny.
Yeah. All right. I can see him being Joey Ramone. But anyways, okay. Yeah. I don't know. I'm unsure about this for, I think, the same sort of reason is that, yeah, there's a lot of really good Ramones documentaries out there. I don't really know if I need to see people play act at them once there's like so much footage. I don't know. I'm always weird about biopics about stuff that's recent. But, hey, I don't really know anything about film, so I'm not, you know, qualified to give a shit.
But then again, how recent is the Ramones? I mean, recent to us because we're old, but... At the same time, I mean, the Ramones broke up, what, almost 20 years ago?
No, I mean they exist entirely within the realm of there being video cameras, and they were a performance band. So it's not like doing a film about, you know, someone else that existed around the same time that wasn't necessarily on film all the time. Like, we're at no shortage of Ramones footage. So it sort of begs the question... Okay, so let's say you can get actors to come out and to put a really good dramatic spin on the Ramones story. Well, what do you do when it comes to the music then? Do you use actual live footage? Would that be weird? Or do you have the actors pretend to play instruments and then play real Ramones songs, or do you recreate the Ramones songs using the actors? Or I don't know. That bit, I'm not quite sure how that works.
That's usually crappy, except it worked really well in Johnny Cash. What's his name? Phoenix?
Phoenix.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix. Like, a lot of people were playing his version, and they thought it was like the Johnny Cash version. He did a pretty good job. One thing, I'll tell you what I'm most interested in with the Ramones is, I mean, the early days are so documented, you know. What I'm really interested in is the fallout after the KKK took my baby away. The story is that Johnny Ramone stole Linda Ramone from Joey Ramone, and so Joey Ramone and Johnny Ramone hated each other ever since. I think that's part of it, but I think that's an over-dramatization. I think they probably had bad blood beforehand, and I don't think they had the exact bad blood. Like, they're often portrayed as never speaking to each other ever again after that. But that can't be possibly true, because they wrote songs together, they recorded together, and they worked together, you know? So I think the reality is much more murky, you know? I'm interested in seeing the relationship between those two, you know?
I think it could be pretty good, actually. Really? I'm not – yeah. And I think Martin Scorsese is going to – I mean, he doesn't really make bad movies.
He doesn't.
And I'll say one thing that I'm not into is the idea, and I read this where they said there's a possibility, or you just mentioned there's a possibility of a musical based on the Ramones, which I'm 100% not into at all. And as far as documentaries go, I don't think we really need another Ramones documentary. I mean, in my opinion, the best one that came out was End of the Century, which came out about 10 years ago, which to me just kind of captured the Ramones perfectly and really shined a light on aspects of the band that up until that point I really had no idea about. But as far as the dramatization of the Ramones go, I'm really curious to see who they could possibly get to play the four of them. Whoever did the picture on the website of Leo DiCaprio, I don't know if it was you, John, or if it was me.
Yeah,
that was great. I would love to see Leo DiCaprio as Dee Dee, for example.
Actually, I think Leo DiCaprio could do Dee Dee. I really
absolutely.
Mark, what's your favorite Scorsese film?
Not to foreshadow Punk's points, but I'm a really big camp comedy fan. Love that movie.
Adam White, what's your favorite Scorsese film?
I have not seen the last bunch of them that people were really into.
Wolf of Wall Street's good.
Yeah, like I haven't seen that, and I feel that I really should, because that was apparently important. God, their favorite Scorsese film, I don't think about the last thing that I saw that he did.
I love Scorsese, man. I think he's so great.
I am so unmovie. I don't even know. Oh, he did The Last Waltz, didn't he? Oh, he did The Last Waltz. I'm Canadian, so I have to vote for The Last Waltz.
Good answer. I'm going to go with the punk rock classic, Taxi Driver. I love Taxi Driver. It might be my favorite film of all time. Moving onwards, Restoration. One of the punk news community's very favorite bands. They've released a whole slew of details about their new album. The new album is called LP3. It's out October 28 on Side One Dummy. They released a song called Separate Songs, and they've also released a track list, a mere 9 songs on the album. Are you guys excited for this? Did you guys dig this single called Separate Songs?
I'm not that into it, to be honest. I kind of like the video. I like the houses a lot, but I'm not really that into this band.
I'm really into this. They're going down a path that is very pleasing to me, because they're embracing their totally unashamed Constantine Z vibes on this stuff now, where they're just this isn't a really big in your face song. It probably doesn't rage in a way that John would really like, but there's a really nice build up on this song to me, where it kind of takes its time, and as it takes its time and it builds interesting things. There's like a moment where, like, I made a point of noting it because I really like it. Like a minute 23 into this song, there's a part where like the bass line comes in, and it's just it sounds really, really good. And it's just kind of like churning along under the verse. And man, I really enjoy that. I could just listen to like this song at around a minute 23 over and over. So this is a slow burn band. This is a slow burn song. This is kind of, you know, that's their thing. So it's not off or anything, but I really enjoy this.
Very good. Speaking of a thing a lot of people didn't really enjoy, a lot of controversy in the punk rock world these past couple of weeks, a lot of controversy. as some people might know, in the punk rock world, Joe Queer, or Joe King of the Queers, posted a post on Facebook. Actually, let's back up. As I'm sure a lot of listeners know, I guess about 3 weeks ago now in Ferguson, a young fellow named Brown was shot and killed by the police. He was shot 6 times. There's been a lot of controversy on it. A lot of people were saying it was the police using excessive force. Some people are saying it's the police using force when no force at all was required. However, some people, I guess the contrasting view is that the police officer was using the right force, even though he shot the poor fellow 6 or 7 times. On an online post, Joe Queer of the Queers posted a comment in support of the Ferguson police officer, Darren Wilson, who shot the guy named Brown. Here's what Joe King put. He put, "A man of peace in a world of mayhem where all we I'll read that again. A man of peace in a world of mayhem. We are all behind you, Officer Wilson. Thank you for your service." And then he linked to basically an organization where you can give money to Officer Wilson, the guy who shot the young fellow. And actually, as of tonight, it's almost up to $200,000. It's about $2.5 grand away from $200,000. That upset a lot of people in the punk rock community because generally, you know, punk rock is anti the police or whatever. And my personal view is I think this was excessive force, but that's just my personal view. But we'll get to that in a minute. Surprisingly, I think it's the owner or the operator of Don Giovanni Records, a guy named Joan Steinhardt, put the following post, and I'll read the whole thing. Forget the ice bucket challenge. I challenge two labels, Recess Records and Asian Man Records, to completely disassociate with sexist, racist, and homophobic punk bands like the Queers and Screeching Weasel. It is ridiculous that anyone legitimate would be working with them to release their music after the long-term pattern, not isolated incidents, of sexist, racist, and homophobic crap they spew out online and offline. Mike Park and Todd Congillier, you can do better. Mike, the things that Joe Queer writes on his Facebook and says at shows goes completely against your mission of working with bands that are anti-racist, anti-sexist, and anti-prejudice, and who support the ideas of peace and unity. And that has always been one of the most inspiring aspects of your label. And Todd, Screeching Weasel's current behavior goes far beyond shock punk or whatever the hell you think it is. I'll point out here that Steinhardt brings up Ben Weasel because Ben Weasel, like when Joe King was getting attacked online, Ben Weasel jumped in and fought back on the side of Joe Queer. Ben Weasel didn't take a stance on the Ferguson thing, but he did say that people should be able to say what they want, essentially. However, Steinhardt got a lot of support, but a lot of flack for posting that. Essentially, Steinhardt was asking Asian Man and Recess Records to drop Ben Weasel and Joe King. Todd Congillier of Recess Records actually responded to that, and basically he said that he's not going to drop Joe Queer, and that's what he said. He said he's got better things to do. Mike Park didn't really respond. However, Steinhardt got a lot of flack. And I'm going to summarize this as best I can. Steinhardt responded after he got a lot of flack online. "Although it seemed to generate a lot of discussion, I want to apologize for the challenge I issued today to Recess Records and Asian Man Records regarding Screeching Weasel and the Queers. I remain personally appalled by Joe Queer's defense of Darren Wilson and things that happened when Screeching Weasel played at South by Southwest. At the same time, I recognize that a better way to go about this would be more thoughtful discussion directly with the people involved. It is unfortunate that what I wrote ended up in a hate-fuel argument with people talking about boycotting Recess Records. I have nothing but goodwill towards Mike and Todd. Ill will toward them and their labels was far from my intent in starting a discussion, and I take full responsibility for any harm it caused them today. I hope the parties affected can forgive me and understand that my intent was not to harm them. As for Screeching Weasel and the Queers, I also recognize that there are members of these bands who are not Joe or Ben, and I should have been far more clear in my commenting regarding those members. As for the bands themselves, I have no trouble supporting them in any way as long as their frontmen... I will have trouble supporting them as long as their frontmen continue to say things they say online. However, I realize that what I wrote may have come off as blind hatred or boycott towards them without considering their own intentions in their comments and actions, for which I am sorry. So a lot of hot feelings going around, a lot of intense emotions. Do you guys have a stance on this either way?
Go for it, Adam.
How was my summary? Was my summary accurate?
You did your best.
Thanks, Adam.
No, I mean, like, I didn't want to have to do it. There's enough back and forth in this that it's just a slog to just try to get through.
Let me summarize real quick again, because there was a lot of back and forth. Is Joe King went online and said he supported Officer Wilson, who shot Brown. I forget the poor guy's first name. Is it Michael Brown? I forget his name. So anyway, the Recess Records guy, Joan Steinhardt, went online and said, Mike Park and Todd of Recess Records. What did I say? Recess? Don Giovanni, yeah. Records. He went online and said, Mike Park and Todd of Recess, you should drop Joe King and Ben Weasel. Todd of Recess Records said, I'm not going to drop them. A lot of people agreed with Steinhardt. A lot of people disagreed. Eventually, Steinhardt apologized and retracted his demand to drop Joe King and Ben Weasel from the from the Recess Records and Asian Man Records lineup. That's it. Woo!
Oh, that was tough, huh?
That was tough. All right. I can totally appreciate that. That Joe from Don Giovanni there probably did not go about this in the most tactful way that one could, and that potentially calling out people on Facebook to go publicly like change their existing relationships and business deals and whatever is probably not really the way that kind of thing is going to be accomplished. And I've got to imagine that neither Mike Park nor Todd at Recess are entirely happy about the shenanigans of Joe King or Ben Weasel. But it was just not the right forum, not the right way to do that. I don't know. Public shaming didn't really seem like the most tactful way to make that change happen, to enact that thing. You know, you figure that Joe needs to go grab his How to Win Friends and Influence People book and figure out how to properly broach that subject so that the people actually want to do what you're asking them to do. That said, I feel that he was kind of saying what everyone was thinking. But not that I'm sitting around on my hands waiting for Mike Park to go make a statement or to drop one of these guys or anything like that. But I gotta say, like, I know I've definitely thought about, you know, like, man, it sucks for Asian Man. It sucks for Recess to be associated with these bozos sometimes. And, you know, I can get his frustration, I guess. I can get where he was coming from, but man, that's not how you go about something like that.
I was wondering how quick was the second post that he put up?
Real quick. Like
it was the course. It popped up while we were debating whether we were going to post this as a story at all.
Yeah, actually, is this worthy of posting as a story? I'm interested in what the punk kids have to say. You can reach us at podcast@punknews.org. Is this something that we should be posting on Punk News? Is this too TMZ-y, if you will?
Yeah, and that was our argument behind the scenes was, you know, is this actual news or is this just a bunch of people sniping at each other on the internet? And the angle that we took with it is that, well, it became news when Don Giovanni posted it via one of their official label presences. Like, this wasn't just, you know, Joe from Don Giovanni posting it on his personal Facebook page. Like, this went out via the Don Giovanni Facebook page. So, you know, I know these aren't big companies or anything like that, and it's not like it went through a PR person or something to come out, but the label did post it via one of their official news sources. So that I think made it more of a real story than just, you know, let's say a bunch of people fighting in the comment sections or something like that. But even that, I admit, is like a totally thin basis. But hey, I don't know.
Mark, what was your opinion?
About the story?
Yeah, like either, yeah.
Well, I mean, when I think about how quickly he kind of backtracked on it, I kind of, it makes me think about how when we're putting stuff on the internet, how we need to think about, you know, take 15 minutes and step back before you throw something out there so quickly. Because I can kind of
good point, real good. Mark, say that again.
Take 15 minutes before you put something out there on the internet. Yeah, you really need to step back because, I mean, very clearly this guy saw what he put on there and had a very quick change of heart. But I also kind of wonder how much of it was a change of heart and how much of it was because of all the blowback he got so quickly from people.
I don't think he changed his mind per se. I think he was just kind of like, yeah, I kind of did this in a boneheaded way. But I don't think he's necessarily, you know, retracting his opinion.
Do you think he still thinks that Mike Park should drop Joe Queer?
Oh, totally.
I totally support Todd and I totally support Mike Park in the response or not response. I think Todd handled it correctly. I can understand how Steinhardt would feel this way, but well, a couple of things is he says that Joe Queer and Ben Weasel are sexist, racist, and homophobic. I'm not sure that's accurate, and that borders on defamation if it's not true. So in punk rock, we see those words being thrown around a lot on people we just don't like, even if it's not true. Be careful, people. You don't want to wind up in a lawsuit. And honestly, it's lame to call somebody sexist or racist or homophobic if they're not. I know that Ben Weasel, Joe Queer, and Todd challenged Joe Steinhardt to give them one evidence of sexist, racist, or homophobic lyrics, and Steinhardt couldn't do it or wouldn't do it. So that says something. Related to that is I don't think a label and this goes back to what we talked about last year. A label does not mean that you agree with every single thing an artist says on your label.
That's a very good point.
And you cannot hold that standard because you don't there's not a single person in the entire world that anybody agrees with on every single opinion. So that means every label is one person. All the label is you saying, well, from what I can make money off this band, or in the punk rock world, it's saying, I find this band to be artistically interesting. That's all that's right now. It's a thing is if a band's on tour with a band that people don't like, they say, you should drop off that tour because you touring with them means you support them. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. An artist, I mean, a label putting out a band does not mean they support every single thing that band says. All it says is I think their art has merit.
Is it the only – I would agree with you in most cases, except when we're talking about Asian Man. Because you go by – and this is what he brought up in his comment is if you go by Asian Man's own bio, Mike says, I only work with bands that are anti-racist, anti-sexist, anti-prejudice, and who support the ideas of peace and unity. All those anti-words are in caps.
True, but Todd challenged Joe Steinhardt to say, what has Joe Queer that's racist, sexist, or prejudice? And he didn't come up with a single example.
Yeah, I guess he doesn't say, like, anti-dick.
He doesn't say anti-dick. and like I said, as I said before, you can't – well, true. You can't expect your artists to all be nice people because they're artists. I'm not even a huge fan of Screeching Weasel, and I certainly don't support the police officer. I support the family of the poor fellow that got shot. But just because someone disagrees with me doesn't mean you should drop them from the label. But this is the core of my point. Is Steinhardt is setting up an incredibly dangerous precedent. He's saying that if you're in a label, if a group of people don't like who's on a label, don't like one of the artists on a label, you should boycott the label. That's extremely dangerous. What if the band says, we like cops? Should you boycott them? What if the band is like the Dwarves, where they have naked girls? Should you boycott them? Before you know it, you have a majority or a powerful minority exerting intellectual tyranny on art, on labels that are trying to promote the arts, which I think is an extremely dangerous and extremely short-sighted thing. Now, I respect Steinhardt for retracting his statements. I think he got spanked pretty hard, and I hope he learned his lesson. I think he's extremely poor of one business to challenge another business about their business practices when they're representing someone short of actual racism, of actual hatred, which Steinhardt couldn't show any evidence of. So I think it's lame. But I think he learned his lesson. I don't think he learned his lesson. I think the majority spanked him, and so now he backed down. So I support Mike Park 100%. I support Joe of Recess Records 100%. I don't support Todd. Joe Todd. I don't support Joe Queer, but I certainly support 100% his right to say it, and I would not ever boycott an artist simply because they have different political ideas than I do.
These guys need new names that are more distinctive and easy for us to sort out.
Yeah, well actually, I mean,
because Joe and Todd and
Joe and Todd, they're one syllable. I mean, yeah. we need more. Like, someone needs like a big royal title.
So I'd love to hear what the kids have to say about this, because we could talk about it's almost too bad. We're playing Punk's Point today, which is a lot of fun, but we could talk about this for a half hour, an hour. But what are you going to do? I mean, that's about all I have to say on this for right now.
Yeah, I think we'll leave it at that. So let me bring up the next one here.
Woo!
Because John, this is one I imagine you are pretty excited about. So
real excited.
So some good friends of the Punk News podcast really have some cool news here. So the World Inferno Friendship Society exclusively talked to us about their new album. So the Brooklyn-based collective have released details about the new LP. It's going to be called This Packed Funeral. It's due out on November 11th on Alternative Tentacles. The band's annual October 31st Halloween show, which is set for the Wick in Brooklyn, will also be a record release show. So you can probably pick that sucker up there as well. And there's pre-order information and everything on the website. There are 10 songs on this bastard. You can find the art there. You can find a little interview that John did with
Jack Terrycloth.
With Jack. Do you actually say that you did the interview with Jack?
It does. If
it's
you don't
just see, assumed?
No, like it's in the span tag. So
sure. Span tag. No one knows what we're talking about. All right. and you can also listen to the song This Packed Funeral, which is streaming on Punk News as well. So, John, I can throw this over to you. You're a huge fan of this band.
Mega fan of this band. This band and Mischief Brew are what I call my two very favorite modern punk rock bands. When I say modern punk rock bands, I mean bands that have formed after Dookie. I'm a huge fan of this band. This band is one of the greatest bands I've ever seen live. Last year, I went to Hallowmass, which actually served as the theme for this album. One of the top five shows I ever saw in my entire life. It's phenomenal. I'm excited for this record. I've heard some tracks off of it. I'm loving it. Jack Terrycloth described it as kind of glamish, and I hear that. This record seems to be a mature record. Not that it's subtle or quiet, but that it's extremely tactical. It's got a lot of opera to it, a lot of glam to it. It's very precise. It's got some of the big band stuff. It's got some of the punk rock stuff. I would say it's halfway between Red Eye Soul, Just the Best Party, and the Turnstiles. 7-inch, so it's not a halfway between. It's in the centerpiece. This record's going to be great. I'm super excited. I will be at Hallowmass. I would say, I mean, honestly, if you ask me, there's not one Inferno record that's not great. I love them all. This record adds that. If you're an Inferno fan, you will love this record. This record is great. Let me describe the theme real quick. The theme's pretty clever, and I'll be brief. At Hallowmass last year, they were going to do Hallowmass, but they changed it to a wake because Grace Talicious of the band, the Paranoid Style, had died. But, well, just between you and me, that might have all been fiction. So they actually had a body there in a casket. And at the end, Jack Terrycloth came up on stage, and he sung with an entire chorus, and they brought the coffin on stage, and Jack Terrycloth did a eulogy for Grace Talicious. The album is people speaking at her wake and some Paranoid-style songs done by the World Inferno Friendship Society. Super clever. It's great. I'm excited. Did that make sense, what I said?
About as much sense as the Inferno can make sometimes.
Yeah, true.
And I'm with you. I am a huge, huge Inferno fan. I've been an Inferno fan for a really long time. So much so, I've got an Inferno tattoo, ladies and gentlemen. And I can't wait for this record to come out. I'm really, really excited. I've only heard one of the songs that's on there, actually. So you're definitely ahead of me there. And I have yet to go to Hallowmass. And that's definitely one of my bucket list shows that I've got to be able to catch.
You got to go, Mark. Here. It's awesome, Mark.
Oh, man. Awesome. I really, really want to be able to do that. Living down here in Florida, I don't get to see the Inferno as much as some people like you living up there in the Northeast. But yeah, people that have not listened to this band, you've got to check them out. They're great. And seeing them live is a great experience. It really, really is. And the first time I saw them, it was maybe halfway through the first song and I was hooked. So check them out. I can't wait for this to come out.
Fantastic. Adam, are you into this? Is this not your thing? How experienced are you with the World Inferno?
I'm not super experienced with World Inferno, but I'm really looking forward to kind of getting into it with this thing. With this record. I mean, I have Red Eyed Soul on vinyl, and I was a big fan of Sticks and Stones, which was Jack's pre-Inferno. Well, one of Jack's big pre-Inferno bands there. But I kind of fell off the boat with them as they had other stuff that came out. So I'm not up on my Inferno continuity, really. So I'm looking forward to actually like being able to grab one of these when they come out, when everyone else is getting into it, and to experience it that way.
Well, fantastic. Well, that's a great time to get into the World of Inferno. I guess that wraps up our podcast. I guess, Mark, you have a tune for us?
Yeah, I do. It's from a band down here in South Florida. They have played just down the road for me in Hollywood, and they're called Beach Day. And I saw them play last year, opening for the Breeders, and also at the end of the year with Thermals down in Miami. And they just put a new record out a couple weeks ago called Native Echoes. And this song is the first song off that record, actually. It's called All My Friends Were Punks. Punk's Points, the game show where punk rockers show just how true punks they are through useless punk rock trivia. The game is simple. There are three rounds, easy, medium, and difficult. Each round has five categories of questions, and each punk is asked a question about that category. If he or she gets it right, he gets 5, 10, or 15 punk's points. At the end, the punks can bet as many of their points as they want on one final question. The punk with the most punk's points at the end wins fabulous gifts and prizes. Without further ado, let's meet our host, Johnny Gentile.
Yay. Hooray. Back to the intro, Mark. It's time for another wonderful edition of Punk's points. Let's meet our wonderful contestants, and we are here with Jason. Jason, I see here that you're from Texas. How do you like it down in Texas, Jason?
It's pretty cool.
Now tell me, Jason, I bet it gets pretty hot during this kind of time of year.
This summer, it hasn't been quite as hot as it typically is, but yeah, it's usually pretty hot.
Very good, Jason. Jason, how do you think you'll fare tonight on tonight's Punk's Points?
I just hope I don't embarrass myself and, like, out myself as a huge poser or something.
Well, if you do, Jason, you'll be fitting in with the rest of us because we're all posers here. And our second contestant is David, a returning champion. David, tell us, what do you remember from your first time on Punk's Points when you won the prize?
I remember I fucked up in the beginning logging into Skype just as I did this time. So if that's an omen, a good omen, hopefully I'll win again.
Now, David, could it be that you are trying to throw the other contestants off their game by delaying the start of the match? Could that be your strategy?
Yeah, it's all a mind fuck.
And David, how do you think you'll do on tonight's contest, on tonight's game show?
I'm feeling pretty lucky, so hopefully pretty well.
And with us tonight is our third contestant, a celebrity player. We have Chris Farron of Fake Problems. Chris, thanks for being on tonight's episode of Punk's Points.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Now, Chris, everyone wants to know, how are the Smith shirts coming along that you've developed? If the listeners might know, Chris Farron made a delightful shirt where he put the Smiths, but below it, instead of putting a picture of Morrissey, he put a picture of Will Smith and his family. Chris, where can people get that shirt if they want to select that shirt?
You can get that shirt at chrisfarron.bigcartel.com, baby. All right,
Chris, what's happening with Fake Problems? What should people look forward to in the future?
Fake Problems, we have some songs that we recorded. We're trying to figure out what we're going to do with those. And Antarctica Vespucci is going to do some stuff later this year. And I've got some solo stuff coming out later this year as well.
Well, that's wonderful. And Chris, how do you think you'll fare on tonight's game?
I will win.
Well, that's great to hear. You heard it here, folks. Chris Farron, he's coming out strong, beating his chest, ready to blow away the competition. Without further ado, let's play Punk's Points. Mark, what's our first category?
Our first category is Green Day.
And the first question goes to Jason. Jason, what was Green Day's first album?
Slapstick Happy Hours or something? A Thousand
Judges?
It had a number in it.
I think the correct answer was 39 Smooth, but that was a good guess, Jason. Second question to David. David, for 5 points, what were Green Day's last three studio albums?
Uno, Dos, and Trey.
That's correct. That's for 5 points. Next one goes to Chris Farron. Chris Farron, what album did Green Day release immediately after Dookie?
Insomniac.
Correct for 5 points.
Oh, yeah, baby. Hell yeah.
Mark, what's our next category?
Our next category is Operation Ivy.
First question goes to Jason. Jason, what was Tim Armstrong's name in Operation Ivy?
Lint.
Correct for 5 points. Next one to David. David, Operation Ivy's bass player would go on to a much more famous band. What band did he join?
Rancid, among others.
Correct. Next one goes to Chris Farron for 5 points. Chris, for 5 points, what hardcore band did Jesse Michaels recently form with members of the Hard Girls?
Classics of Love.
Correct for 5 points. Mark, what's our next category?
Our next category is famous musicians, famous labels.
Me.
And the first one goes to Jason. Jason, what label is run by Mike Park?
I don't know.
That would be Asian Man Records. Next question goes to David. David, for 5 points, what label is run by Jello Biafra?
Alternative Tentacles.
Correct for 5 points. Next question goes to Chris Farron. Chris Farron, for 5 points, what label is run by Brett Gerowitz?
Epitaph.
Correct. Next category, please, Mark.
Our next category is not the Melvins, it's the Misfits.
The Misfits. First question, this is still the easy category, fellows. First one goes to Jason. Jason, who is the original singer of the Misfits?
Glenn Danzig.
And for 0 bonus points, but how do you spell Glenn?
G-L-E-N?
Close. G-L-E-N-N. But that's just for fun. Next one to David. David, who's the second singer of the Misfits?
Michael Graves.
Correct. And last one in this category of the Misfits to Chris Farron. Chris Farron for 5 points. Who is the third and current singer of the Misfits?
Isn't it the guy, the bass player? Doyle Face?
No. Doyle was their guitarist for a little bit.
Hold on.
No, that's his guess.
Okay. I love how he's hijacking the show.
The answer was Jerry Only, the brother of Doyle. You were close, Chris. But we're all here to have fun, so don't get too hung up on whether you're winning or losing, because the prizes are pretty arbitrary around here. So this is just for fun. Mark, what's the last category in Easy?
I wish the last category were doily, but instead it's Orcore.
First question goes to Jason. Jason, Brendan Kelly is in the Lawrence Arms. Name any other band that he has been in.
I don't know.
Except your answers would be Slapstick, The Wandering Birds, The Broadways, or The Falcon. The next one goes to David. David, a year ago, Punk News started an international petition that had over 1,000 signatures to get Mikey Erg to drum for what band?
Against Me.
Correct, 4 or 5 points. Last of the easy questions to Chris Farron. Chris Farron, what band features Chuck Reagan and Chris Wallard?
Hot Water Music.
Correct, for 5 points. And Adam, what is our current scores after the end of the easy round?
I really want to do this in a Carl Castle voice, so I'm going to try.
Who's Carl Castle?
Oh, for God's sakes.
Don't you listen to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me?
No, I don't. But let's keep rolling. Adam, what's our current score?
All right. So we have David in the lead with 25 points. Following him up is Mr. Farron with 20. And tailing, we have Jason with 10.
And now we are entering the medium round where questions are worth 10 points each. Mark, what is our first category?
Our first category is spelling.
Now, if you want me to use the word in a sentence, feel free to ask me to use the word in a sentence. Jason, please spell Sha Wayne as in Glenn Danzig was in Sha Wayne.
S-C-H-W-I-N-G?
Close. It's S-A-M-H-A-I-N as in Sam Hain.
Oh,
yeah. Next one goes to David. David, spell Reviver as in Erica Frias is in Reviver. Is that how you spell it? Frias? Erica Frias? Anyway, that band. How do you spell that band?
I think it's R-V-I-V-R.
Correct for 10 points. Last one to Chris Farron. Chris Farron. Oh, I this one is easy for Chris, and I didn't mean to do it, but Chris, this one should be a gimme for you. Chris Farron, spell Morrissey, as in Morrissey loves getting involved in hijinks.
Okay. Oh, God. Okay. M-O-R-R-I-S-S-E-Y?
Correct for 10 points.
Woo!
Next category. Mark, what is our next category?
Our next category is going to be very difficult for Chris Farron. It's Gaslight Anthem covers.
Jason, first question to you for 10 points. Jason, true or false, Gaslight Anthem has covered Fake Problems? True or false?
True.
Correct for 10 points. Next one goes to David. David, true or false, Gaslight Anthem has covered Pearl Jam?
I'm going to say false.
I'm afraid that's incorrect. It's true. Last one to Chris Farron. Chris Farron, true or false, Gaslight Anthem has covered the Rolling Stones for 10 points.
True.
Correct. And no bonus questions, but Chris, can you name the band? I mean, the album, the song.
Something about... Oh, Tumbling Dice.
And can you name the album that's off of?
The Rolling Stones' Rock America.
Close. Exile on Main Street when they went to France to leave the UK. But you were in the general vicinity. Mark, what's our next category in medium?
Our next category is Bomb the Music Industry.
And this one,
hell yeah.
This one goes right to Jason. Jason, what band is Jeff Rosenstock currently in with Chris Farron? Band or project?
Mustard Plug?
No, I don't. Chris, you were never in Mustard Plug, were you?
No.
The answer is Antarctica Vespucci, but good guess. Next one goes to David. David, before Bomb the Music Industry, there was a band with Mike Costa, Jeff Rosenstock, and John Day Domenici. What was the name of that band?
Oh, geez. Hold on one second.
No cheating.
I'm not looking it up. Don't worry. I'm thinking because it's on the tip of my tongue. Before Fake Problems, Jeff's band was called...
Before Bomb the Music Industry. I'll repeat the question. Oh,
excuse me. Yeah, Bomb the Music Industry.
There was a band with Mike Costa, Jeff Rosenstock, and John De Demenci. What is the name of that band? We're running out of time.
I don't know. You asked me this the last time, and I got it wrong.
The answer is Arrogant Sons of Bitches.
Of Bitches,
And apparently Jeff Rosenstock just revealed a repressing the band's big album, so don't spend $100 for it on eBay like I almost did once but then didn't. Last question to Chris Farron. Chris Farron. Right. Kudrow, which features Jeff Rosenstock, has an EP and a split EP. Who was the other band on Kudrow's split EP?
Fuck. Oh. Hard Girls?
Correct, for 10 points.
Yeah, baby.
Mark, what's our next category in Medium?
Our next category is H.R. Giger.
And this one goes to Jason. Jason, for 10 points, H.R. Giger has a work, a artwork called Penis Landscape. What band used that image and was charged with obscenity and indecency for using that image in their album?
I have no idea.
The answer is the Dead Kennedys from the Frankenchrist album. Next question goes to Dave. Dave, H.R. Giger painted the cover of what Danzig album?
Danzig 3?
Correct. How the Gods Kill. Last question goes to Chris Farron. Chris Farron, I hope you're a heavy metal fan.
Oh, big heavy metal head over here.
Chris, for 10 points, two of Tom Gabriel's bands have used H.R. Giger images on the cover. One is Celtic Frost. What is the other?
Groovy Ghoulies.
Close. Triptychon.
Oh, right. So close.
Mark,
so
close. Mark, what is the last category in Medium?
The last category is the Clash Ian Hunter Connection.
The Clash Ian Hunter Connection. This one goes straight to Jason. Jason, the first question is, what producer produced both Ian Hunter and Motha Hoople? I screwed this up. Oh, no, I didn't. What producer produced both Ian Hunter and Clash albums? That's right, yeah. I'll repeat that if you want me to repeat that.
Mick Jones.
Close. Actually, that's closer than a lot of people might think, but the answer is Guy Stevens. Next one goes to Dave. Dave, Ian Hunter and Mick Jones both produced albums for what singer?
Did they both do Joe Strummer albums?
No, good guess, though. The answer is Ellen Foley and her album Spirit of St. Louis, I think it's called. Joe Strummer's on that album, but he did not produce it. Ellen Foley appears on Sandinista, and she was also Mick Jones' girlfriend for a little while. She also sings on Meatloaf's Bat Out of Hell. Last question in Medium goes to Chris Farron. Chris Farron, Mick Jones and Topper Heaton appeared on what Ian Hunter album?
London Rocks.
Actually, that's a good guess. That's the album before this one. That's a song. You guys know that, right?
Is it really?
That's Ian Hunter's big song is London Rock, England Rocks.
Oh, hell yeah. Wow.
I'm sorry. You know, I got confused by that guess because Cleveland Rocks is the American version, isn't it?
Correct, yeah. Exactly. Ricky, 10 points for you. Too bad you're not playing. The answer is short back and sides. Let's move on to the hard and final category of regular play. Mark, what's our first category?
The first category is the punk hip-hop connection.
And the first question goes to Jason. Jason, MC KRS-One famously rapped on... Oh, no, I'm sorry. Adam White, can we have a score update, please?
Oh, I thought you forgot about me.
I did.
So
but...
at the end of round two, we have... Chris Farron taking the lead with 60 points.
Mm.
David in second with 45. Jason taking up third with 20. But Jason could still take the lead in this final category.
With each question is worth 15 points, so it's still anyone's game. Mark, what is the category once more, please?
Once more, it's the punk hip-hop connection.
And this goes to Jason. Jason, KRS-One famously rapped on what New York hardcore band's debut album?
I don't know.
The answer is Sick of It All. Next question goes to Dave. Dave, what rapper famously covered Black Flag's Police Story?
Ice-T.
Correct. For 15 points. Very good. Last one goes to Chris Farron. Chris Farron, Ice-T sampled what famous punk rocker on his Freedom of Speech album?
Jello Biafra.
Correct. For 15 points. Chris Farron rocking the old school hip-hop knowledge. Mark, what is our next question for the difficult category?
The next category is the Bromley Contingent.
The Bromley Contingent, going back to the early English punk rock days. First one goes to Jason. Jason, what member of the Bromley Contingent would go on to play guitar in the band Chelsea?
I have no idea.
That would be Billy Idol, the blonde rocker. Next one goes to Dave. Dave, what member of the Bromley Contingent famously developed a hairstyle that was cropped at the top and had the sides flaring upward in orange color?
Sue Catwoman.
Correct, for 15 points. Next one goes to Chris Farron. Chris Farron, what member of the Bromley Contingent would later form a band with Robert Smith of The Cure?
Oh, God. Fucking Tom DeLonge.
Close. The answer is Steve Severin. Mark, what's our next category?
Our next category, Chris Farron is going to kill because it's Gwar.
Gwar, a band very dear to my own heart. Back to Jason. Jason, for 15 points, what band was Dave Brocky in before Gwar, which led to the formation of Gwar? I'll repeat that. What band was Dave Brocky in before Gwar, which led to the formation of Gwar?
I don't know.
The answer is Death Piggy, which Jello Biafra put as one of his favorite records of 1983. Next question goes to Dave. Dave, Odorous Urungus was actually the third singer for Gwar. Name either of the first two singers.
Was Mike Bishop one of them?
No, that's a very good guess, but that's incorrect. Mike Bishop actually was a later day singer, and he did vocal on some tracks. But the answer is Johnny Slutman or Joey Slutman. And you can actually hear some of those recordings on Let There Be Gwar. And Chris Farron showing an acknowledgement of all things Gwar. Chris, who is the latest and most current singer of Gwar? The monster's name.
Osiris?
Close. Blothar. Back to Mark. Mark, what's this category for and hard?
The next category is stand-in frontmen.
All right, and this gets tricky. Let's go right back to Jason. Jason, what heavy metal legend stood in for Ozzy Osbourne in 1992? What heavy metal legend played with Black Sabbath standing in for Ozzy Osbourne in 1992? Or no, I'm sorry, that's an incorrect question. What heavy metal legend stood in for the vocalist of Black Sabbath in 1992?
Axl?
Close. Rob Halford. They're both famous for their high-pitched voices. This one goes to Dave. Dave, what punk rock legend stood in and did vocals for Red Hot Chili Peppers when Anthony Kiedis was too high to perform in the mid-80s?
Is it Keith Morris?
Correct, for 15 points. Very good. Last one to Chris Farron. Chris Farron, what post-hardcore vocalist did vocals for the Reunion Ink and Dagger tour?
That guy with the dreadlocks from Strike Anywhere. What's his name? That guy. I don't know that guy's name, but that probably is not right anyway.
No, I'm afraid it's Jeff Rickley of Thursday.
And Jeff Rickley!
And I think he's got a new band, too. I forget the name of the band. Anyway, Mark, what's the last question
in... No Devotion.
There you go. Mark, what's the last question in our... I should ask you that question. Mark, what's the last question in our difficult category?
There are no dreadlocks in this category. It's Malcolm McLaren managerial duties.
Malcolm McLaren managerial duties. Back to Jason. Jason, for 15...
Who's that?
Jason, for 15 points, before he managed the Sex Pistols, Malcolm McLaren managed/tour managed/assisted what New York rock/proto-punk band? And I'll repeat that if you want me to repeat that.
The New York Dolls?
Correct, for 15 points. Very, very good. Next one to Dave. Dave, for 15 points, after he managed the Sex Pistols, Malcolm McLaren managed what band, which very briefly featured Boy George as a singer? And I'll give you a hint, it's not Culture Club.
Bow Wow Wow?
Correct, for 15 points. Very good. Chris Farron, you've got a quite a president to follow here. Chris Farron, for 15 points. Malcolm McLaren famously helped introduce hip-hop to the UK with the song Buffalo Gals. In that video, he wears a hat designed by Vivian Westwood. What modern hip-hopper has recently been cited in that same hat?
A modern hip-hopper, okay, cited in some hat from some video. let's say a modern hip-hopper. Kanye West.
Close. Pharrell, who has done production work with Kanye West. You know that hat everyone's making a big deal that Pharrell's wearing? A lot of people don't realize he's making reference to the punk rock earlies, UK, New York City, hip-hop punk rock connection. If you watch the video for Buffalo Gals, you'll see Malcolm McLaren in that same exact hat.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Well, after the episode...
Eminem samples that song, too.
Well, there you go. Eminem showing his history. All right, fellas, we're about to do the final round where you can wager between zero... Adam White, what's our point total?
Okay, coming into the final round here, we have a new lead with David with 105 points. Chris Farron falls behind to 75. Jason still tails with 35.
In this round, you can wager between zero and all of your points. And the category is Martin Scorsese films. So take a moment, think about how much you want to bid, and then instant message me the amount of your bid, and then I'll read the question.
Oh, instant message it to you. Okay. How do I do that? Oh, here we go.
So I've got David. I've got Chris. And now we're just waiting for Jason.
I'm trying to find out how to message you.
You can send me an email, too, if that's easier. Doesn't make a difference.
It's like to the left.
And our contestants are thinking of their answer. And get your instant message ready because you're going to instant message me the answer to the final round as well.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, I emailed you.
Let me see if I have that email. Let's see here. Don't have the email yet. Don't have the email yet. You sure you emailed it to me or did you instant message it to me?
No, I emailed it.
I don't think I got it, Jason. Jason, I'm going to send you an instant message real quick and then you can answer that.
Okay.
Did you get that right there?
Yes.
There you go. So why don't you instant message me the amount that you want to wager? Very good. Okay. Here's the question. Think about it. You'll have 30 seconds, and then within 30 seconds, please instant message me your answer. Here is the question. In a Martin Scorsese film, what punk rock band had a 10-second cameo in Martin Scorsese's famous 1982 film, King of Comedy? I'll say that one more time. What punk rock band had a 10-second cameo in the Martin Scorsese 1982 film, King of Comedy? Your 30 seconds is starting now.
And then what do? I text it or I send it on the... Yeah.
One of us should have went into Wikipedia and made this wrong. That said, don't go to Wikipedia.
King of Comedy, you say?
You hear people typing?
Yes, the film is King of Comedy. Chris, you are running out of time. I suggest you come up with an answer.
All right.
Very good. I have all the answers. So let us start with Jason. Jason bid all his points, which was 35 points. Jason, your answer to what punk rock band had a 10-second cameo in the Martin Scorsese film, 1982 film, King of Comedy? Jason answered The Clash, which is correct. So Adam, Jason gets 35 points.
All right.
Next, we had Chris Farron. Chris Farron wagered all his points. And Chris Farron, his answer was a good guess, but it was incorrect. I'm afraid it was Fear. And if I was Alex Trebek, I'd make like a condescending comment right here. Like, well, at least you tried.
Yeah.
And he started out in the lead. David bid 50 points. His answer was The Clash. So David is correct for 50 points. Adam White, do we have final score totals?
We do. We have David as our winner with 155 points total. Jason comes in second with 70. Chris Farron plummets to nil.
Well, you're all winners in my eyes. You guys all blew me away with your deep knowledge of punk rock. You should all be proud for competing. You all did an excellent job. Let us distribute the prizes for coming in first place. First place. David, again, defending his crown. David, would you like, from our swag bag, would you like Neil Young's Greatest Hits? Would you like Crime as Forgiven by Against Me? Would you like Bruce Springsteen Live in New York? I'm not a huge fan of Bruce, but this is neat. It's a two CDs. Or a mystery prize pack.
Well, I have the Against Me album. I guess I'll go with Neil Young. I'll get into him.
Excellent choice. Second place, I believe, was Jason. Jason, would you like Crime as Forgiven by Against Me, Bruce Springsteen Live in New York, or a mystery prize pack?
I'll take the mystery prize.
Oh, good choice. Mystery prize pack. And Chris Farron, always the people's champion. Always excited to have you on the podcast. Chris, would you like Crime as Forgiven by Against Me, would you like Bruce Springsteen Live in New York, or a mystery prize pack?
Give me that Bruce Springsteen thing.
You got it, Chris. I will even send you a special note for competing on the Punk News Podcast.
Oh my God, hell yeah.
Wow.
Well, fellas, thank you so much for competing. I think you all did a wonderful job. And thanks again for playing Punk's Points.
Yeah!
Hell yeah.
David, I've been told by the producers that you want to plug your band. David, by all means, who is your band?
We're called Whoopee Sticks. We just played our first show this past weekend. We're from Boston, and you can check us out facebook.com/WHOOPISTICKS.
And David, what kind of band are you guys?
We're a punk rock band, female fronted, but she does the Mikey Eric thing where she drums and sings at the same time. So it's really cool to check out.
Well, sounds exciting. And Chris Farron, I think you're in a band too, aren't you?
Yes, we're called Fake Problems, and I'm also in another band called Antarctico Vespucci.
And where can we find you online, Chris?
Freaking ChrisFarron.com, baby. I just spent like $100 making a new website. Check it out.
ChrisFarron.com, you heard that. I highly recommend Fake Problems and Chris Farron, one of the most exciting young punk rock artists today. And lastly, Jason, are you in a band? Is there anything you would like to plug? Would you like to send out a missed connection?
I don't have anything.
Well, very good. People, watch out for Jason. He's a wonderful contestant, and I certainly we'll see him again on the Punk News Podcast. Well, guys, thanks again for playing.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you, guys.
Well, Mark, thanks for being on the Punk News Podcast, and thanks for being the announcer on Punk's Points.
Thanks to you guys.
And Adam White, thank you for being the scorekeeper on Punk's Points.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm all right.
And Adam, thank you for bringing your wonderful perspective and insight, as always.
I don't have much to say.
As always, you can reach us at podcast@punknews.org, and we'll see you next week.